Who said, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction? When Newton's third law was being formulated, Isaac was thinking purely in terms of physical science. But what he said could just as well have been applied to people, too. Because we live in a cause and effect world. Very often, a stimulus evokes a response. When somebody does you a favor, it's expected that you respond with, thank you. And when somebody says to you, I'm sorry, you might kindly respond by saying, well, that's okay, even when it's not. Sometimes people are way too quick to react. I mean, they should take a moment to think first. We all remember how Cain reacted when his sacrifice was not respected by God. And the Bible is full of other examples of those who reacted poorly. Moses, the children of Israel, Judas, and Peter. But what about you? How do you react, for example, when you hear gossip? Do you take a moment and think, I should squelch this rumor and defend my neighbor? Or can you not wait to spread it or even embellish it? This young 20-year-old from Oregon reacted without thinking first. He, this summer, ordered a meal at the drive-thru, but he didn't get his orange juice. So naturally, he flipped open his cell phone and dialed 911. He spent that night in jail. On the other hand, fortunately, some reactions are very exemplary. When told to build an ark, Noah obeyed. We're told that Noah did according to all the Lord commanded him. And when Job lost all that he had, he reacted by saying, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Omaha, Nebraska, a local Irish priest noticed that boys that were neglected often turned to a life of crime. The priest reacted by creating a positively structured community where troubled boys could receive an education and learn a trade. Father Flanagan opened Boys Town 92 years ago today. Some reactions are of epic proportions. Next week, our country will observe the day when Japan used 6 aircraft carriers as launch points for an attack on Pearl Harbor. Our nation's reaction was to declare war the very next day. And exactly 3 years later, to the day, it was formally announced that each of those 6 Japanese carriers had finally been sunk. But nowhere was an action followed by such a wide variety of reaction as we find in the Garden of Eden. The action was the fall into sin. It started with a pair of lies by the serpent. Regarding the eating of the forbidden fruit, he said, you will not surely die, and you will be like God. We all know what Eve's unfortunate response was. Her next action was to give some to Adam, and he could have refused, but his reaction was the same as hers. Adam and Eve suddenly noticed they were naked, so they covered themselves in shame. And her next reaction was to hide from God in fear. When confronted, they promptly pointed the finger at others. And then it was God's turn to react. He pronounced swift justice with specific curses on the man, on the woman, and on the serpent. And then he reacted in quite a different way. He gave the sweetest promise ever. Speaking to the serpent, he said, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Then, in a further act of love, he banished them from the garden, so they wouldn't have access to the tree of life. Eating of that tree would have meant they would live forever in their sin. We see the Holy Spirit working faith in Eve in her response to God's promise. When Cain was born, Eve expressed her faith in that promised Savior, thinking that her son Cain was the Lord. And then later, when Seth was born, Eve said, God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. The point is that when driven by faith, God's people can and do have very good reactions to whatever life brings. One of the things that life brings is tribulation. Now, the Apostle Paul had plenty of tribulations. And how did he react? He said, "I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Now, here was a guy who had a so-called thorn in the flesh and was thrown into prison on multiple occasions. And what did he say in response? "We also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope." If Anne Frank were alive today, she'd be over 80 years old. When she was about the age of you sophomores in high school, she had her freedom and her prosperity taken away as she and her family went into hiding from the Nazis. And yet, her diary is filled with entries where she gave thanks to God for all things. Having the earthly things taken away actually helped her see her true source of strength and hope. Somebody once said that there are two kinds of prayers. There's "help me, help me, help me," and "thank you, thank you, thank you." Well, either way, prayer is an excellent response. God wants to hear from you. He wants you to cast all your cares upon Him and to call upon Him in the day of trouble. This week marks the beginning of another Advent season. And how are you going to respond? God would have us direct our thoughts heavenward. And that's going to be tough these next 3 weeks because school gets really busy as we prepare for finals and the concert. And if we allow it, Christmas will come and go before we know it, causing us to lose sight of the simple message in the manger at Bethlehem. But please, take the time to consider the season and the reason for it. Have thoughts and reactions that are heaven-directed. When you direct your thoughts heavenward, you'll be kinder to those around you, you'll do your work with more satisfaction, and you'll enjoy the Christmas season more fully. This past weekend, I happened to go to an Andy Williams concert with my family. And I didn't know it beforehand, but he's a Christian who has quite a nice testimony. And he's not afraid to share his Christian faith. And one of the things he shared was an observation written anonymously over 80 years ago. And I'd like to share that with you. It goes like this. "Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years he was an itinerant or traveling preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family of his own or owned a home. He never traveled 200 miles from the place he was born. He did none of the things that usually accompany greatness. He was turned over to his enemies. His friends deserted him. He went through a mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. And while he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had, his coat. And when he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed grave. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of people on this earth as powerfully as this one solitary life. I wish you God's richest blessings this Advent season, and may your reactions to it be filled with joy. Amen." Now, this tape gave out, this machine gave out and died during the actual chapel, so I just read it in my office afterwards. But the song that we sang, the hymn, was hymn 90, "Come Your Hearts and Voices Raising," and it was, we sang verses 1 and 8. Thank you. Have a good day.